Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host for the evening, and you're tuned to Blog Talk Radio, Backyard Labrish. We're here every week on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich and diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So I want to take this opportunity to say welcome to all the callers on the board and also those who might be tuning in online on their computers, and to thank you for being here in the backyard. And as usual, we will pretend that we're under our favorite tree for the natives, that is, or on the beach or on your patio or up on your deck. Or wherever, but you can feel the breeze, those trade winds, drifting softly across your face. And you're perhaps eating whatever fruit is in season. I don't even remember when it's mango time. I don't know. I think it's in the summer, but whatever, there's so many fruits, exotic fruits, that you can be munching on. So just pretend wherever you are, anywhere in the world, that you're just there in the moment. So, to this evening, we're here to, of course, always celebrate good things about our past and encourage good things for the future. So, this week's segment is all about religion in different forms, and I am telling you, I've discovered so much about the history of the different religious organizations in Jamaica. Now, I see that we have callers on the board, and as usual, I want to remind you that this is a labrish, and when we're labrishing, it's a casual conversation, and for the visitors who might not know what the term labrish means, I always try to explain it, because we have visitors that come by after the show is aired and just listen to the show, one that might interest them. So if I get a little repetitive, our regulars or the Jamaicans can forgive me, but the whole idea behind Backyard Labrish is to expose the rest of the world to the way things were in Jamaica, perhaps before the independence, to celebrate a lot of the things that we didn't know about ourselves, even before, I know I didn't, when we went to school or before we left the island. I know there's a lot of great things happening now since we're independent, but most of the people in the diaspora perhaps left before Jamaica became independent. So we wanted to have a living legacy in our own voices of what things were in the old days, and of course discover some things we didn't know even about before our time. And there has been a lot of people contributing to the past. And for those who might not know, you know, the Jamaica, the Gleaner, which is a Jamaican newspaper, has a wonderful segment called Pieces of the Past. And they cover a lot of historic events and people. And we have been using a lot of that material, and that will be what I'll be reading from this evening about the different religious icons in Kingston. I also use some material a lot of times from Dr. Joy Lumsden, who has contributed greatly to a lot of the history of Jamaica that would have been lost. So I'm going to start and reminding, first of all, to remind the listeners on the board that if you want to join the Labrish, please hit 1 on your telephone. I'll see a raised hand, and I will open the mic so you can share your story or make a comment. For the listeners online, you'll have to call in because I'm not able to interact with you on the online while you're online. The number you'll call is 718-766-4558. So we'd love to have you let us know you're here with us in the backyard. So I want to start off by saying, I think there was an email about this some time ago, that it has been said that Jamaica has more churches per square mile than any other country in the world. You know, we are number one in a lot of things. So that's something, I don't know if it has been verified, but I'll go on to quote from the article. I have my little grandson here with me, so if he talks in the background, please forgive us because I'm babysitting tonight. Anyway, the number of places of worship in Kingston alone certainly supports that theory. As the capital and one of the island's oldest cities, Kingston probably has the oldest and widest variety of religious institutions of different denominations, including not only different Christian faiths, but Judaism, Buddhism, and Hinduism. Many of them are located in the small geographical area known as downtown Kingston. And for the oldies, we remember how beautiful downtown Kingston used to be, and for the people of the 60s and 70s, that was the place to hang out, the place to be seen, to see and be seen. So I was very thrilled to know that Kingston more or less had so many churches. Well, I knew that, but some of them, I am sure that some of the people in the diaspora or even some of our visitors might not be familiar with. A couple of weeks ago, we did the history of the Salvation Army, and that was quite interesting. Anyway, back to Kingston. They share the distinction of having existed prior to the earthquake of 1907. And with the exception of St. Peter's Anglican Church in Port Royal, all were rebuilt following the catastrophe of 1907. Now, Kingston and indeed all of the island's places of worship are important for the part they have played in Jamaica's social history, serving as a cornerstone in many cases of the educational system and as meeting places to people from different social, you know, classes, and as modes of advancement for Jamaican men and women. They're also testimony to the island's architectural and cultural diversity, as well as the depth of the people's religious faith. And we Jamaicans know how, on a whole, the island, we're just into religion. I mean, when it comes to Sunday and on religious holidays, I'm sure it still exists, but, you know, everything closes down on whatever your religion is. Almost, I would say, perhaps 80 to 90% of the population are involved in their form of worship. So I'm going to start first with the Koch Methodist Church. Now, it's most Kingstonians, I think, will remember where Koch is and what a beautiful building it really, really is. But let me tell you a little bit about it. The first chapel was a remodeled merchant's house, and it was opened in 1790 on the present-day site. Its future looked bleak, however, as the governor of those days frowned on missionary activity. They even came a time when the Koch Church had to shut down. It was dubbed by the grand jury as it would injure the state, the peace and quiet of the said town, which would be Kingston, of course. And that was quoted from, you know, some writings that from the history of Jamaica. Now, the church stayed closed for 7 years. But when it reopened, it did so with a great presence. Its membership had tripled. It, too, was destroyed by the earthquake of 1907. So actually, it was started in a merchant's house in 1790, and the building was shut down for 7 years because the grand jury thought they were was bad for the peace and quiet of the town. And it stayed closed for 7 years. Now, it was rebuilt, and what a beautiful structure it was. It stands as one of Kingston's few brick buildings, for the use of brick not being encouraged after the earthquake. Now, the historic point of interest: many aspiring politicians have used the landmark as a platform from which to deliver rousing speeches, particularly during the 1930s. So, you know, the politics and the importance of using a building like that was, I suppose, popular, and I suppose still is. But from 1930, politicians would be using that site to, you know, talk to their constituents or hopefully their voters. So that's a little history about Koch. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Holy Trinity. Now, the original Holy Trinity, also close by, is close to Koch, I suppose, stands the site of the city's first Roman Catholic church. It was built in 1810 by a Spanish merchant on the northwest corner of Sutton and Duke Street. It was a modest brick building in size, but its reach was far, as it boasted a congregation of some 2,000 people. It was destroyed in the earthquake, of course, in 1907. Empty picture box, the Cathedral of the Most Holy Trinity, the present Roman Catholic Church on North Street, is its replacement. So I suppose there was a smaller church there before the earthquake. It is Kingston's largest church and the mother church of the Catholic community. Now, unlike Kingston Parish and Koch Methodist churches, the Roman Catholic did not rebuild in the same location. Instead, 5 weeks after the earthquake, a new location was found for the 12,000 square foot building adjoining Winchester Park, the Jesuit headquarters. It opened amid great fanfare in 1911. Crowds of thousands appeared, including the island's elite, fundraising and coordinating. The whole thing was coordinated by a Bishop Collins, who raised money locally and abroad. Now, the Catholics' large rose, the cathedral's large rose window, massive reinforced concrete walls reaching up to 26 m, whatever that means, to its striking copper dome, make it one of Kingston's most attractive buildings. Now, a historic point of interest, it was designed by New York-based architect Raymond Admiral and built by the Canadian company of Waker Fitch at a cost of $150,000. Interesting. And if any of my listeners on the board would like to make a comment, I know we have a loyal listener who is Catholic and perhaps very familiar with that church, and he always have extra information, especially when it comes to the Catholic schools and the Catholic churches and the Catholic form of religion. So I want to ask him to weigh in on the Labrish whenever he would like to. So now we're going to talk about Kingston Parish Church. So I hope you're all enjoying a little history about the different churches in Kingston, because we have some to come that may surprise you. Now, described by historian Edward Long as a large, elegant building, one of the oldest and certainly one of the most associated with the parish, the Kingston Parish Church has served as the Church of the island from the 17th century. During that time, as is in other British colonies, the established church in Jamaica was the Church of England. That is what it was called then. Plans for the state church, formerly known as the Parish Church of St. Thomas the Apostle, was included on the southeastern side of the grid-like map of the city drawn by John Gough, better known as the Kingston Parish Church. Its actual date of establishment is unknown, but is believed to have been before 1699, which is the date of the oldest tomb in the church today. So I suppose they're basing it on that. The church must have stood up before, must have been erected before that person was buried, I suppose. Now, it is further believed that the church may date from the original establishment of the city following the Port Royal earthquake of 1692. This 17th century building has a seating capacity of 13,000. I didn't even know that. That's a lot of people. So that is the Kingston Parish Church. Now, the congregation, in the 17th century, its parishioners were largely free blacks and free coloreds, many of whom would stay in church all day so as to ensure their participation in morning and evening services. That's very interesting. I have to just try to manage my little grandchild here. I must apologize to my listeners. You know, this is a casual conversation, so please bear with me. And I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. The purpose, really, of Backyard Labrish is just to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. I know there's a lot of information, good and bad, about Jamaica all the time. But here in the backyard, we're always just celebrating the good things and trying to learn some things that we perhaps didn't know before and things that we can really celebrate. Now, so that's on the congregation. Now, the original building was devastated during this 1907 earthquake. I suppose it seems, you know, Kingston was where it hit. So almost everything, buildings were sort of damaged. Now, the present building was built on its foundation in a style similar to the original church, with the exception of the tower. The present church was consecrated at the corner of King Street near Parade in 1911. The church organ was built in 1722, and it represents a tangible link to its past. The church is held in great affection by its parishioners, as it is evident, by the gifts that adorn its altar, including things done by artist Susan Alexander in the Lady Chapel, the Madonna and the Child by Osborne Watson, with the carving of the angel by Edna Manley, and a statue of Mary and a statue of St. Thomas as gift of the Chinese and Syrian communities, respectively, many of whom either converted to Christianity or came to the island as Christians. A historical point of interest is the fact that the clock tower, built after World War I, in memory of those who died in service to king and country, is said to have given rise to the saying that describes true Kingstonians, those born under the clock, meaning those born within sight of the church's clock tower. Now, I didn't know that. Did anybody on the board know that? As a matter of fact, I have used the term born under the clock, but I was thinking of the clock in Halfway Tree. That is how little I know. So actually, that is how the saying got started, and there's a reason for that. I suppose people were delivered. The hospital might have been near where they said the site of within sight of the church. So, again, I want to ask our listeners to weigh in if they want to join the Labrish. You know, it gets lonely out here, guys. And I'm just trying to enlighten everybody about things that I know I certainly didn't know. So I hope the board is full, and I hope everyone is enjoying the Labrish, and we might learn a few things. Now, that was the Kingston Parish Church. Now we're going to talk about St. Andrew's Scott Kirk Church. Now, not far away in the heart of Duke Street Business District stands the Scott Kirk Church, which held the distinction of being Jamaica's main Presbyterian church. Today, it is a congregation of the United Church in Jamaica and the Cayman Islands. Now, it was originally built in 1819 at a cost of £12,000. The octagonal stone and brick building boasts stately mahogany pillars. In 1821, visiting artist James Hockwell dubbed it Jamaica's handsomest building. Like many Kingstonian churches, the church was rebuilt on its original foundation following the earthquake. The new building was made shorter than the first. Funds for the rebuilding were raised locally and in Scotland, with the Jamaican government also providing some financial support. Now, in 1939, the congregation of St. Andrew's Kirk, which was located at the corner of East Queen Street and John's Lane, merged with the Scott's Kirk Church, ending a separation based mainly on the different social status of each of its founders. Interesting. The church then became formally known as St. Andrew's Scott Kirk. A historical point of interest is the church has made a major contribution to Jamaica's choral music, as it was home to the St. Andrew Singers. Its organ is said to be one of the finest in the region. Interesting. And I'm wondering if our loyal listener from the Bronx, home of the you-know-who, Yankees, want to weigh in on that, because I know he's in the choir, many choirs, and is very knowledgeable. But I certainly did know some of these historic facts, and I'm hoping that my fellow listeners find it interesting also. All right, now here comes some very interesting information. Now, also located outside of downtown Kingston is the Sanatan. It's a Hindu temple. I don't want to mispronounce it because, you know, I'm not very good at that. It's the youngest of these places of worship. It was built in 1970 by an Indian person. It's at 11114B Hagley Park Road. Today it stands as a vibrant place of worship and a tangible reminder of Jamaicans' Indian connection, which began in 1845. Now, prior to its erection, many Indians worshipped in their homes, gathering for special celebrations, particularly in Clarendon and Westmoreland and St. Mary and St. Thomas. Now, the site was chosen to accommodate the many Indians living in nearby Corburn Gardens. I don't even know where that is. Today, the temple serves as a spiritual hub, complete with statues of Hindu gods imported from India and a full band of accomplished Indian cultural musicians. It is open daily with services offered every Sunday at 10 a.m. A historic note, Sanatan Hindu Temple is the only Indian temple recognized by the Jamaican government. I suppose they have others that they don't recognize. I'm gathering by that. Now we're going to talk about St. Peter's Church. That is located across the harbor from downtown Kingston. It was built in 1725, and they're not sure, either 25 or 26. The present church stands as one of Jamaica's and Kingston's oldest church. Port Royal has been part of the parish of Kingston since 1867. It is Port Royal's fifth Anglican church. Earlier churches have been destroyed during the 1692 earthquake. The present St. Peter's has undergone numerous restorations. The original brick walls are faced with cement to simulate concrete blocks. In the interior, one finds several 18th century memorials detailing the challenges faced by those who made their living on the Caribbean Sea during that time period. The grave of an infamous earthquake survivor, Louis Gaddy, G-A-L-D-Y, lies in the courtyard. Gaddy, who with his brother, Lawrence, was forced to leave France because of their Protestant religion. Now, he achieved fame by managing to survive the 1692 earthquake in dramatic fashion. His tombstone tells his tale. He was swallowed by the earth. He was then spewed into the sea and picked up by a passing ship. He also holds the distinction of having been one of those to push for the St. Peter's establishment. St. Peter's Huguenot ties are reflected in the church's marble and the sculpture, you know, of Francis Roubilliac, whatever. And that is from some historic papers on page, senior actually is the documentation on it, page 462. So those who want to really check how authentic all this information is can check it there. But listen to this historic note. The communion plate inside the church is said to be a gift from the pirate-turned-governor of Jamaica, Henry Morgan. Now, I'm just curious to know if that communion plate is still there. Interesting. And as usual, I'll ask if any of the listeners know anything about this information, because it's always better. I'm just intrigued with all of these historic facts, because I don't know where I was. I must have been asleep when I was going to school, because this is all news to me. I remember some of the buildings, but, you know, the historical facts about them, never heard it before. Okay, now we're going to talk about the Jewish synagogue. That is located at the corner of Duke Street and Charles Street. It is the only place of Jewish worship in Jamaica today. The first place of Jewish worship was located not in Kingston, but in the town of Port Royal. And that was built 16 years before the earthquake of 1692. That synagogue has the distinction of perhaps being the third oldest in the region after Salvador, Brazil, and Barbados. At various times, there were synagogues in Montego Bay, Spanish Town, and other parts of Jamaica. Now, known as Shagar Shalom, Hebrew for Gates of Peace, the Jewish synagogue was built in 1912. That's the year my mother was born, replacing an early brick building that was destroyed in the earthquake. And that building dated from 1881. Now, the original roof, pillars, and gallery were used in the new reinforced concrete structure that they have now. Following on the tradition of most synagogues populated by the Jews during that time, who during the Spanish Inquisition was forced to convert to Christianity, but who secretly adhered to their religion, the floor is of white sand. The synagogue was designed by the Henriquez brothers. We know that name. I'm sure that some of their descendants are still in Jamaica and all over the world. The brothers built by two Jewish congregations in Jamaica at the same time. The two groups united in 1883, but the complete amalgamation did not occur until 1921. The two lights burning on either side of the synagogue's mahogany arch symbolizes this union. So I don't know if any of the listeners on the board have ever been inside the Jewish synagogue, but I am sure that perhaps the Jews who worship there know the significance of those that symbol, that the two lights burning on either side of the ark. So I am hoping that, you know, they'll find out by listening to Backyard Lavish. Now, a historic note on that synagogue is inside the ark are 13 scrolls of Jewish law from former Jamaican synagogues. Some date back over 200 years. But they're in the ark. Wow. That is very deep. Okay, now we move on to East Green Street Baptist Church. Now, also in the general downtown area, and started by the Missionary Society of Great Britain in 1816. It was not Jamaica's first Baptist church. That distinction belonged to a church built in the 1780s on what is now known as Victoria Avenue. Some 40 years later, in 1822, the East Queen Street Church was established. It could hold up to 2,000 persons and so was somewhat short of the space needed to accommodate the full membership of close to 3,000 people. At that time, the East Queen Street Baptist Church's congregation was the largest of any Baptist church in the world. Now, following the 1907 earthquake, the building was rebuilt. The effort led by the minister who himself lost a leg in the quake. A historic note, the first Jamaican minister was appointed in 1958. Wow. So that's on the East Queen Street Baptist. I'm very familiar with that one. Now we're going to talk about the Chinese Temple. Now, still in the downtown area, this time what was known as Chinatown stands the Chinese Ko Kwan Temple at 129 Barry Street. Dating back from 1897, it was an integral part of the Chinese Benevolent Society. I remember that name. An organization formed in 1891. That's before my time. Some four decades after the first set of Chinese immigrants landed in Jamaica. In 1895, the Chinese Benevolent Society, whose main focus was dispute resolution among the Chinese community, registered with the Jamaica government. The design and actual construction of the building was completed by Li Yonghong in 1963. Oh, that was late. The temple sits on the top floor, was built especially to house this place of worship. And the deity sits atop a dais looking out unobstructed across the sea. The temple needed to have a clear view of the south, a feng shui requirement. Interesting. I don't even remember ever seeing that. Anybody on the board remember seeing the Chinese temple? Let me know. Okay, now comes another ethnic church. It's the Hakka people, H-A-K-K-A. Now, also called, it's called K-U-A-N-K-U-N-G, Ko Kong, also called Guang Gong or Tam Gong, a deity and patron saint of the Hakka people, is associated with loyalty. A large man with a long black beard. He was a highly decorated military general during China's warring state period. Although killed in battle, he became revered as immortal and became closely associated with Taoism and the Confucius Hakkas. Oh, the Hakkas has to do with Confucius. I got it now. In Jamaica, the deity was worshipped by the early Chinese who would gather, especially on Sundays and holidays during Chinese New Year, for feasting and devotion. Ceremonial visits often involved paying respect to the ancestors in a ritual known as Baisin, B-A-I-S-I-N, B-A-I-S-I-N. It involves bringing food to lay before the altar, burning of incense, followed by bowing three times in front of the statue and chanting words of respect and obedience. The latter is often done while waving the incense above your head and explaining why you are there. The incense gets placed into receptacles on the altar and is there, and if there is a gong or drum in the temple, it is then struck three times. Gifts, paper offerings are also often burned to send up to your ancestors for their use. And this is you know, quoted in one of the historic books. It's interesting. I find all of this very, very intriguing. Now, a bamboo container holding 103 narrow-numbered bamboo sticks is shaken in front of the deity as the person kneels down and repeats the question he or she wants answered. Eventually, one stick, this is apparently a ritual that goes on that I'm reading about here. Eventually, one stick gradually rises above the other and falls to the floor. The number on the stick is noted and the corresponding slip taken from the rack and read. This is a custom. This is the response that you would get if you were, you know, doing this custom. Now, although the temple is not used for religious worship today, as many Chinese Jamaicans are now Christians, it remains colorful and it still sits majestically. The Kukong still sits majestically on the altar. For many Chinese Jamaicans, the temple is an important link to their cultural past, and many visit during important Chinese cultural celebrations. Today, the Chinese Benevolent Society is responsible for its upkeep and is working to restore it to its former glory. They have also recently opened a museum of history of the Chinese Jamaican people at the New Hope Road location. So apparently the place of worship has been relocated from downtown, but that building still stands. And I think that is really, really quite remarkable. So with that said, I was reading all of that, I know, very clumsily, but please forgive me. I am in a different house, not my abode today. And for those of our listeners who might have just come by for the first time, I want to welcome you and to also mention to you that I usually have a labyrinth and people usually interact. But I suppose everybody is quietly sitting, just listening to me stumble through the information I found. But I don't know for anybody else, but for me, having moved from Jamaica from 1959, I am now getting a chance, now that I'm retired and old, to really reach out to where I can get the information to support this quest I have for learning more about my culture and about the past, you know, how things were done, what happened, how we became the very powerful nation that we are. As in our patois, we would say, with little but with talawa, because we have produced a lot of significant first, you know, the first for this, the first for that. I think worldwide we might just have been the most varied and complex society, you know, with so many ethnic backgrounds intermarrying and living together for years, and each one getting a part of the other one's culture. That's why our foods and our everything is just really so very, very unique. And I want to tell 718-379 that your mic is open. Welcome to the backyard.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who do we have with us?
Here you have Leigh from the Bronx, the home of the champion, world champion, New York Yankees.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations.
Yes.
Do you have something to contribute to our religious
icon?
Well,
not
icon?
Contribute, but I just wondered, you mentioned several churches quite interestingly because we were not necessarily acquainted with all of these churches or any of them unless it was the one you worshipped at. You know, for instance, in my case, I did not know of most of them because I think you alluded to the fact that I am Catholic, and I would know necessarily about the Holy Trinity Church. One observation that I can remember about that church at adjacent to Winchester Park on North Street, Holy Trinity, Roman Catholic Church. After the hurricane of, that was, I think, 51.
Okay.
It had a copper casing on top of the very high dome. And I went to school the next morning after the storm, or just to look around because, you know, everywhere was sort of shut down. And the copper casing, now that must have weighed several tons, fell off, blew down on top of, it was sitting right in the middle of Winchester Park.
Wow.
I mean, I could not believe it. And crumpled.
Wow.
So that must have been some hurricane we had.
Right, right.
Now, you mentioned...
Was it replaced?
No. Well, there was some extensive work going on there now, and they just reopened the cathedral.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And I'm not sure if they put it back on, which I would doubt, because that would be a lot more expensive to do a copper or whatever material it was made out of now in this day and age.
Right.
So for all these years, it was done without it. So you know, I don't know. I have to visit there soon because the Archbishop told me about five, 10 years ago that when I said I need to go there and check out the cathedral, because from my point of view, that big cathedral was our chapel. All the St. George's boys used to go over there for prayers and stuff.
Right.
And he said, no, don't go.
Why?
And I said, why? Because to preserve all of the priceless artwork and the, I don't know if you remember how many side altars, ornate side altars they had,
right,
apart from the main altar. They were all cemented up and closed up, and the artwork was painted over, and the place was a mess. So he advised me not to go because, and I appreciated
your
that.
Your memory.
Yes. But now I'm told it has been restored unbelievably.
Oh, great.
To its original grandeur. So I have to see it before I croak.
Oh, well.
You know?
That's great. You know, it's good to know that the now generation is still mindful of preserving the things of the past, you know, and not necessarily to want to modernize it, but to, you know, restore it to its original glory.
Yeah.
As they mentioned about even the Chinese place of worship. They're not worshiping there, but I suppose they're keeping it as a museum or something to preserve its history. Because look at the dates. When I read those dates, I was really, really surprised. I see that someone at 416-653 would like to join the Labrish, so I'm going to open up the mics in a minute. Good evening. Welcome to the Backyard. This is Backyard Labrish. Who do we have?
You have Phyllis. From
Phyllis. Phyllis from?
Toronto.
Toronto. Welcome
Hi,
to the
Phyllis
backyard, Phyllis.
Hi there, Mr. Sportsman.
How are you?
Past, I've forgotten the name of the team that you spoke of.
Oh, the Yankees.
Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to hear about them again because the baseball season is beginning. If it's not already begun, so listen up and you'll hear, especially when they play the Toronto team.
All right, this is not a baseball show. We're talking religion.
Yes, well, that's a religion in these parts.
Okay. So, Miss Phyllis, do you remember any of these places? Were you familiar with most of this history?
I not most of it. I am learning a lot tonight too. As always, your program is very informative.
Thank you.
When you're growing up, you're just enjoying your friends. I had a Jewish friend who took me to the synagogue. But the thing that as you're listening in my office, and caused me to call in was that I heard as if you spoke about the Hakka people.
Right.
Did they mention that they are Chinese in the article?
Yes.
Because basically, from what I know about our Chinese, the Hakka people have been persecuted and thrown out of China more than any of the other ethnic groups.
Right, but it didn't mention that. It talked about the Confucius Hakkas.
Yes.
They were involved with Confucius.
But basically, although people do not talk about the different ethnic groups within the Chinese group,
mm-hmm.
they were definitely separate and apart.
Yes, you know, I did a show some time ago about the Pang sisters from Balak.
Yes, I
Black
heard
River.
That show.
And
yes.
I remember one of them went back to China, and they talked about her being from a certain ethnic group.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you ever listen to that show?
I did, and I have a magazine. I don't know where it is now, but it showed you all the different tribes that were in China until they were welded into one strong group. And just
mm-hmm.
as if the British had not gone into Africa when Cecil Rhodes went in, all the tribes, a strong leader like, say, Chaka, the Zulu
mm-hmm.
king, maybe could have welded all the African tribes into one as was done in China.
Right, right.
Parallel, where we instead got given to all the different parts of Europe, because I think it was 1495 when they carved off Africa like a Chinese turkey. I say
yeah.
Chinese turkey because we had the same parallel with all the different tribes. And so the religion, apart from the people in Haiti who kept their voodoo, which has nothing to do with what Hollywood has put out about the dolls, voodoo dollies, and all this kind of stuff. It has nothing to do with any of that. They are the only people who kept their, a large part of them kept the African religion. I don't think any other part, there's nothing in Jamaica that I can think of.
So what about our witch doctors, like the Obeah?
Well, it's not the pure religion as it was. As far as I can remember, it is only those. In Africa, you had the balance of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the Obeah just came as just one element. Everything reacting to slavery, because to find yourself suddenly enslaved, then you're going to try to get this person off your back. It's not an opportunity to grow love.
So is it different? Is that different from the voodoo in Haiti?
It is so incredible to really see what it is like. You know what it's like to me?
Uh-huh.
Like New Age religion. Because I went to an event that the foremost scholar on voodoo, as they call it, gave here in Toronto. And I will send you a printout of what the religion, the tenets of the faith. It has nothing to do with this Hollywood business about getting voodoo dollies and sticking in people and, you know, all that.
Are you saying they don't do that in Haiti at all?
Absolutely not.
Oh, interesting.
And my naturopath here in Toronto is an older Haitian woman. And when I say older, I'm a senior, so she's older, so she must know about her country, because after I went, I said that she was a doctor in her country, and then a lot of people, when they come into Toronto, if they don't have all the Canadian experience, it's just so difficult, so she remains a naturopath instead of going into a hospital. And she said it's absolute nonsense.
You know, I just read an article about Papa Doc.
Yes.
In Haiti, and he sort of promoted voodooism in his way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess as a political stunt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of caught on to his following or groups of people. But I didn't see a religious connection at all, or, you know, like it was a church thing. It was more manufactured out of, I guess, the concept of voodooism that he capitalized on. But this article mentioned that he promoted this thing for political reasons.
Interesting. I wonder if there is anyone, for instance, I don't know too much about, I mean, I know little things about the Obia, but, you know, the details of whether they're all alike, do they worship the same way, do they use the same rituals or anything, I don't have a clue.
I would doubt that, Madge, that they're all cohesive at all, because the very nature of the thing seems like it breeds extemporaneous and are, you know, on-the-spot pronouncements. I don't know. Would you agree with that?
Not really. I believe that God is good and the evil exists. And I know for sure the people who believe in Obia, it's a whole ritualized thing. We had a man, Capo, in Jamaica, who practiced this, and I know we were absolutely forbidden to go to any of these things.
Right.
I remember us going down to one of these places one night to watch these people get in the spirit, because they would have these, they would, you know, do all these rituals until suffering or whatever it is.
What I was driving at is, you know, like I assume that you belong to a traditional religion.
My father was Anglican, and you know,
all right.
I'm now United Church, so
yes, and you can go into books and be guided by the principles of whatever religion it is.
Yeah.
Now, would that be the same with people who espouse?
I don't know if they call it a religion. I'm clueless.
They call it a cult.
They who? The people who are practicing it?
Yes.
Because the people who are practicing it, I mean, the word cult has certain negative connotations.
Yes.
So, who decides? I mean, people have defined all this because of Jim Jones and all the various.
Yeah.
Who defines, really? I studied religion with a atheist at the University of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
He started every lecture with this saying, "Does religion bind or blind?" That was just his blanket statement. And after a few weeks, I really requested an opportunity to speak to him, and I said, "Why do you keep on saying this thing? If religion binds, then it's a good thing." So, of course, he countered. Would you say the Spanish Inquisition was a good thing? But I didn't get drawn in. I was making my point. I said, and if it blinds, maybe some of us need just to make it through the world to be able to get up and say, "Thank you, God. God, I'm going through terrible times. Please help me." Maybe people need this opium of the people, as some people say.
Yeah, but you have to always remember that he's an atheist. So
that's,
I mean,
what
that's,
I'm saying. You see? So these are things that can never be solved, because every group that belongs to something believes that their thing is the truth.
Right, that's true.
All the religions we have. If you go into Protestantism, you have all these groups, each one thinking it's the right thing. For example, being brought up in the Anglican Church, I can never go yelling and hollering in church, because the Anglican Church was just such a boring kind of, you know, the singing. I have no idea. I cannot go in a church and start behaving like, say, a Pentecostal person, but they think their way is the right way, because it said the Holy Ghost, you know, so yet I could counter with the part from the Bible that says, when you pray, go into your room and pray quietly, and your Heavenly Father will hear you.
Well, I just want to make one point, and that is that as growing up in Jamaica, of course, as you mentioned, Phyllis, you weren't allowed to go to the, you know, if you're passing the street and the poker manias are performing. I used to love watching them. But, I mean, you don't get involved type of thing.
No.
But it was good to see that each one of them existed in with their own set of people who would, you know, be attracted to and participate. So there were all sorts of different religious worships going on all over the island.
All
over.
Controlled by class prejudice. All controlled by class prejudice, because no upper class person ever joined and became an Obia person.
Well, I mean, did it go the other way? Well, I don't know about that. I am just saying that as a young person growing up, I knew that all of these different religions existed. You know what I mean? Or they coexisted peacefully. Wouldn't you
say?
Well,
my class had a bakery in Omaha.
Uh-huh.
And part of having a bakery, people would have ninth nights. We say nine nights.
Right, for the after
and
a person dies.
So they would rent the space, and there would be all this ritual in the bakery yard. Do you not want to be saved? Singing and a whole ritual where at midnight, the duppy was supposed to be walking, so you'd never looked back to say bye-bye to anybody.
Yeah, we're going to do a show on the death ritual. Pieces of Jamaica have all of that, the birth ritual and the death ritual of, you know, certain, of the past. Very interesting.
Just by a question, I seem to run into the Moravian Church almost everywhere I go in the West Indian territories.
Yes.
And even Latin American territories. But I don't remember too much of Moravian Church in Jamaica, and you didn't mention
there was.
It.
There was one.
I know there was, but in your coverage of the religion.
No, I don't see any in the historic facts. Apparently,
but
it's
not in Kingston. Not in
right.
Kingston.
It
yeah.
might have been new, and I don't think there was a lot of, there has been a lot of documentation for certain periods. Most of this goes back, you know, some of these churches, as you know, originated in 18 and 17 something, the actual physical church.
Yeah.
And, but I have not seen much about, you know, things like in the 20s and 30s. I'm still doing some research on some of that. And if any of our listeners on the board is on my email list and have any information they'd like to share with me, I'd really very much appreciate it. I see we have people Skyping in, and I see the board is full. No, not many people raising their hands, but I do want to welcome you. I want to ask you to share the information with your friends. We're here each week at 8 o'clock. It's just a labrish. I am never politically correct. It's as I say, the whole objective and about this passion that I have is to celebrate. I'm always celebrating. There's always something to celebrate. And to enlighten, learn more things that are authentic that we didn't know before, and to preserve our opinions and conversation about those things. So I'm always welcoming new guests. We only have a few minutes left. I want to always tell you that you're welcome to join the Labrish. And to please, if you are not on my mailing list, if you would go to www.backyardlabrish.com and just leave a comment or write me an email or, you know, send us a suggestion, it would be really appreciated. So with that said, I hope you enjoyed the historic facts I've shared with you tonight and our conversation about our opinions. And Phyllis, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
I just quickly wanted to say that the link with the Moravians is with the Methodist Church. And somebody from Antigua had explained it all to me when I said I don't remember any Moravian churches. Mm-hmm. And I will also send that to you, Margaret.
Be great.
And just very quickly, along the same lines, I'm looking at the computer now, and it's a Moravian Church will consecrate a new bishop of the United Fratrum on Sunday at the Convent Memorial Church, 127 Malines Road. And this is very late now, 1974.
Yes, I remember when I was growing up, there were Moravian churches, a Moravian church. I remember that distinctly.
Yeah.
So I don't know when it originated, though. You know, I'm just doing the
history. Yeah, I think it goes back way back, but in like Westmoreland or
The information I gave today is just the Kingston connection.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because it's amazing how many of these different things go back so far in history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm so glad that Phyllis had gone into the Jewish temple because
I've never been in the Jewish temple.
At my school, we had a lot of Jewish youngsters, and
at the Catholic school.
Yeah, at St. George's College, of course.
Right, because they didn't have a Jewish school, did they?
Well, they do, right as we speak.
But did they have in the old days?
I am not sure that they did. But they came to St. George's for quality education, even if I have to say that.
We got that. We heard that slid in there, right there.
We heard that.
Yeah, we certainly
no,
heard
no,
that.
No, well, I mean, you know, it's an... It's,
big
it's
up your school. Big up your school.
Okay, we got the point.
It's a known fact, you know.
Yeah, Jesuit
education. But I wanted to say that because you alluded to some instances of the Inquisition and Jewish people being thrown out and had to practice a religion that was not theirs.
Right.
So
they secretly worshipped.
And, of course, for another discussion in our own grandfather's family, that was a fact. Okay.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
So, very good discussion. I learned a lot about this.
Well, I want to thank all. The board is full, and I'm sure we have listeners listening online. I want to thank you again. This is Margaret, the host. And to tell you that we're always open to hearing your voices, and we really asking you to spread the word, because I have one point And Phyllis, for those on the, with an open mic, you can tell me how you feel about this. I mean, it seems like, you know, everything is going video now, you know, with YouTube being so popular. And if anyone Googles Jamaican anything that it has to do with YouTube, there is so much information or what do you call them, clips, so many clips that are, I would say, not, we need some balance. We need some balance with some good, great things that Jamaicans are doing. So for those of the techie people that might come back by and listen or online, photograph and record some of the good things that Jamaicans are doing and put it on YouTube, because there is so much of, you know, the bad behavior and the world seem to be intrigued with it, because the amount of hits that I see those things get. I mean, somebody sent me one yesterday, and you know how they run from one to the other sometimes?
Yeah.
This one particular one I was looking at had 89,000 views. Mm-hmm. I could not believe that figure. So, with that said, I am asking, you know, the Jamaicans that have something good to help to balance the scale so that the world would know that there are all different kinds of Jamaicans behaving in many different ways and accomplishing some great things. So we need to have more of that on the YouTube.
I think, Margaret, we can never worry about these people.
No, I'm not worrying. I'm just making a suggestion.
It's a good suggestion for them, but we see the world choosing right now to observe Tiger instead of thinking about Senator and the wife who has cancer and the fact that he could ask his important man to take the hit and say that it was his child. So for me, a man who might have been president of the United States, his sins should be filling all the newspapers. But a private man who chooses to behave badly is not of any importance in my life. So people seem to have this great desire to look at the negative, because anybody can see just how extraordinary it is that out of slavery, we have all risen to this, the heights that we have all risen to. So I just hold my head and I know I am wonderful. And you
right.
are too. And
well,
thank
well,
you for this.
Amen to that. And as I say, you know, we're just asking for some balance. Put some good things on there.
Yes.
You know, that's it. You know, don't let it be totally, even not the same thing you're saying. You know, let's hear some good news instead of always the negative. Because
yes.
I believe that what you give the most energy to will grow. You know, that's what causes anything to grow, whether it's good or evil, bad, negative or positive. And I'm not trying to label anything, but I say let us celebrate the things that we want to grow more, to hear more of, to see more of.
That's
and,
right.
You know, give less energy to the things that are not really enhancing anybody.
Definitely.
Including, you know, the planet. So I hope that my listeners will support me in the celebration of the positive, rich culture of Jamaica. And with that said, again, I want to thank everybody for being here. And I'm getting a lot of support. And whether you raise your hands and join the Labrish or not, I just thank you for being here. Thank the people who are Skyping in. Thank the callers from 301-416-914-718-631, 305, just all over the place. And it's very warming to my heart to see you all here spending so much time with me. And I do hope that in some way I have helped to enlighten or help you to celebrate and certainly preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. So with that said, I promise we'll have another interesting subject for you next week. And to remind you that you can always go in the archives and just look for a show that might pique your interest and perhaps share it with someone else who you think might be interested in that subject by just downloading it, or when you click on Blog Talk Radio's website, you will, and if you Google Backyard Labrish, you will, Blog Talk Radio will come up, and you can send that URL, the address, you know, copy it from your address bar and send it to a friend, because that way they can just click on the link and listen to it, one of the old shows. So with that said, I want to bid you all good night, and as I always say, make it a great week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Phyllis.
Night.
And good night to you all. And now you can fold up your chairs, and it's bedtime, so the breeze has already blown, the trade winds have already blown over the island, and you have finished your favorite drink, and now you can just chill. So see you next week. Bye-bye.